Blog Talk Radio.
Does the Holy Ghost be in you now? Do you feel it?
Come on.
Do you feel it?
Oh,
Lord. The reaction. Lord, I believe I'm not wrong.
Good evening and welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study with Pastor Brooks. Having a little technical problems there, but I thank God for tonight and thank God for another Tuesday night that the Lord has blessed us to come together to fellowship and to share in God's word. On the last few couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, been having difficulty getting here on Tuesday nights. Been having to do this on Wednesday night, but hopefully, prayerfully, we have gotten back on schedule Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Get your Bibles, and we're going to share in God's Word on tonight. We have prayer requests, want to be praying, ask that you be praying for missionary Mary Cooper. She's a little under the weather, and she's going to the doctor on tomorrow for some tests that have to be run, but we want to pray that after the doctor gets through running the test, that the results will be favorable. Praise God for her. Also, let's be praying for each other, praying for the church, and praying for all of God's people, that God will meet need according to his riches and glory. God will do it. His word declares it. God has promised it. And so whatever God has declared, it shall come to pass. May not come when we want it, but it will come to fruition when God's people trust and believe on him. Let us pray before we go into tonight's lesson and subject. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity that you've given us to see a new day. We thank you that you have blessed us and kept us up until this hour where we are able to come together to study your word, to worship you. Dear Lord, we thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for guidance. Dear Lord, we ask that you look upon us now. We pray that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would bless us as we study your word. Help us to reach the lost. Help us to draw others into the kingdom. Help us to grow as individuals. Help us to grow as a corporate body. Help us to grow physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for Jesus Christ coming into the world that we may be saved. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. So praise God. We thank God again for this week that the Lord has blessed us again to come and to meet him here and to meet each other through this medium. And thank God for all he has done, and thank God for his anointing. Praise God, Sunday morning worship. We had a glorious time in the Lord. The Lord moved in a mighty way on Sunday morning. Thank God for coming in and visiting us at New Birth, 6424 Benjamintown Road. Lord came in, and as we often say, when God shows up, he shows out. And so we thank God for visiting us on Sunday. And want you to visit. Come and join us for Sunday school at 10 o'clock a.m. and morning worship at 11 o'clock p.m. And we would love to have you to come and to be with us, to come and worship and fellowship with us this coming Sunday morning. Today we wanted to talk about, and we're using for the theme, God is still blessing his people. When we look at the world, things that are happening in the world, there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of confusion. But God is blessing. God is doing great things. one little thing that God did, and I probably paid no attention to it. We're always getting prayer requests every week. We have a lot of relatives in the Chicago area, and each week getting prayer requests. Cuz, pray for our city, pray for our neighborhood. You know, we pray that God would touch hearts, God would touch minds. And a lot of us overlooked it probably, but it was reported that Chicago went almost a whole week without someone being fatally shot. And so we thank God for that. A whole week without someone being fatally shot. And I say fatally shot and they, with them knowing about it. Of course, somebody could have been shot and the body is hidden in the basement somewhere and just hadn't been discovered yet. But we thank God there was no on the streets, that no one lost their lives in a shootout. There was still some shootings, but nobody died from gun violence for almost 7 days. We thank God for that. And sometimes we don't think much of that, but with all the shootings that have been taking place, and especially as large as Chicago is, that is a miracle in itself, that you can go a week during violent times and no one lose their life through gun violence. I don't know if anybody got stabbed to death or cut to death or beat to death, but for a week, no one was shot and lost their lives. So we thank God for that. God is still doing great things. Tonight we're going to look in the scripture in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. One of the books don't do a lot of preaching and teaching out of, but one that should not be overlooked. Let's go to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, written by the wise man, the wise king, King Solomon. And tonight we're going to look at Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. And in it, and again, a subject, God is doing great things. God wants to bless his people. God is still doing great things. But one of the things that we have to do we have to position ourselves to be one of the individuals that God blesses. And so, but God will do as his word has said. Now, Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12, talks about trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. And it reads, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake me. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, when it talk about being blessed of God, one of the things that we have to do, and what this scripture alludes to, that we have to be obedient people of God. In other words, there's something that we have to obey. What do we have to obey? Need to obey the commandments of God. Need to obey the words of the Lord. We need to acknowledge God and trust God and believe God. So if we're going to acknowledge God, we're saying what? That God exists. That God is worthy to be praised. We quote the scripture. God is this. We talk about Jesus being King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We talk about God being the wheel in the middle of the wheel. We talk about, and we go through the attributes of God, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, all of these different attributes about God. And what we're doing, we're acknowledging God, and we sometimes acknowledge that he is God, and we acknowledge his power, but the greatest way to acknowledge God is not to talk about him, but to live your life that is pleasing to God. So a lot of times we as people, we talk about God. We look in the textbooks and we find what does the textbook say. We go to the commentaries and we look at the commentaries and what do they tell us about God. We go through the encyclopedia. We search out information on the internet. What is this about God? What is this about God's commandments? And we acknowledge that God exists, but God is desiring that we would acknowledge that he exists through the life that we live and the life that we dedicate to him. So notice what the writer says here in Proverbs. He says, "My son, forget not my law." Was he talking about the father's law? No, he's talking about God's law. Don't forget God's law, but let your heart keep God's commandments. And verse 2 says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." When you're obedient, God blesses us. Scripture tells us, even in the Ten Commandments, says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Honor them. You honor them that what your days shall be long upon the land which God has given thee. Scripture says what? That this is the first commandment with a promise. That if we honor our mother and father, God will in turn increase our days. And so if God will increase our days by honoring our earthly mother and honoring our earthly father, certainly God will increase our days when we honor him. When I'm talking about honor him, I'm not just simply talking about how we do go to church and giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Again, we acknowledge God with our voices and with the words that are coming out of our mouths, but sometimes we have a difficulty in acknowledging God with the life that we live. We'll, you know how we do. We come to church on Sunday. We feel the presence of God. We feel the anointing of God. We're inspired. We're encouraged. And we're ready to leave the building, go out and walk by faith, go out, believe God, run through troops, bind the enemy, fight the devil, resist the enemy, wrestle with these spiritual enemies. But then comes Monday, and instead of us continuing to operate in the spiritual realm, we start operating in the physical realm. And instead of us staying in the wisdom of God, we sometimes fall back into the wisdom of man. And anytime we're going to fall back into the wisdom of man, we're going to walk opposite of God's will. And we end up doing things our way rather than doing God's way. So we acknowledge God. And we go through the scriptures, we quote the scriptures. But again, just because we can quote the scriptures does not mean we have a right relationship with God. Remember, Satan, when his encounter with Jesus, when the Holy Spirit urged Christ to go into the wilderness and drove him into the wilderness to fast and to pray, one of the things that Jesus encountered after the 40-day fast, after praying for 40 days, he was hungry, and who shows up? The devil, the enemy. And the enemy shows up. He does not come in really quoting his own words, but the enemy comes in quoting the word of God and his twist upon the word of God. So we can all, anybody can acknowledge God with your voice. But just because you acknowledge him with your voice doesn't mean that you have a relationship with him. And certainly, Satan did not have a relationship with God. He knew of God. He knew God, but he did not have a relationship with God. Still had an opportunity to encounter God. And even today, after the cross, still has an opportunity to encounter God. And the scripture says he's an accuser of the brethren. So he goes around and tries to point out all of our weaknesses, all of our shortcomings to God, and declare that God wasted his time sending Jesus into this world, because we're not going to walk right, we're not going to live right. We crucify Jesus on a daily basis. And he stand before the brethren, stand before the Lord, accusing the brethren, accusing us. And so here he was, he spoke the word, but yet and still he did not have a right relationship with God. And so we can too acknowledge God with our mouth, but not have a right relationship with him. Now, look at Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 3. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." In other words, it's telling, son, in order for God to bless you, you as an individual, you must be merciful, and you must love the truth. You must be merciful. You must love the truth. Sometimes we get caught up in playing that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth game. Really doesn't come, shouldn't say a game, because the consequences can become quite deadly. people get hurt with an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Someone has said, if we continue on with that mentality of an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, that our society would be toothless and completely blind, because if we would just go around doing nothing but seeking revenge. So sometimes we have a scripture, we go to the scriptures, and go and we search the commentaries and all the other books of knowledge, trying to find out about God. But we still sometimes come up short when it comes to knowing him. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So he's saying that these things, mercy and truth, bind them. Have them around your neck. Let them be a badge of honor, ID. Be like the dog tags. What are the dog tags on the soldier to do what? To identify him. To identify him when he, the dog tags are there to basically to identify the soldier when he falls dead. And when he falls dead in warfare, they will know exactly who this individual is if the dog tags stay around his neck. We'll have to bury him in an unmarked grave. We'll have to be one of the unknown soldiers that we honor at Arlington National Cemetery. But you can put him in the grave and put the name of this individual on the grave, can notify the family so they will have full closure, knowing that the loved one has died, that he wasn't captive or he's not missing in action, but he actually died, and that even though that there is a tragedy, they can now have closure in their life and move on. So bind them about your neck, write them on the table of thine heart. And it says in verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. And that's what it says is. You have favor and good understanding in the sight of God, also in the sight of man. So God blesses the child of God to the point that even men notice that you are a child of God. Now, you can know the word of God, and this is what happens with us, and I'm saying us, they have a lot of this in the world, that we know the word of God, but we are not applying the wisdom of God. So you can know the word of God, but you also have to apply the wisdom of God. Just knowing the word and not walking in wisdom, you still have problems and you still have difficulties. Then you have some of us, we're trying to apply the wisdom of God without even knowing the will of God. We're trying to bless people that God has cursed. You can't bless anybody that God has cursed. You can't curse anybody that God has blessed. If God has cursed a person, if God has turned them over to a reprobate mind, there's nothing that you can do to change the hand of God. You can't do anything to change the will of God concerning that individual if God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. If God has cursed that individual, you can't bless them. If God has blessed someone, you can't curse them, like the children of Israel. King kept running to Balak, wanting him to do what? Curse the children of Israel, because he had heard what the God has been with them. They've been blessed. Every kingdom that they come against, as they were traveling looking for their promised land, they were able to overcome them. They were able to defeat them. They were able to take the spoils. They were able to add what these nations who resisted them had and added to their treasury. When you resist God, put yourself in a position to lose everything you have. And so this king wanted this prophet to curse the children of Israel. But every time he set out to curse them, instead of speaking a curse, God would fix his mouth where he would speak blessing. Now, this prophet didn't have the power to curse them, didn't have the ability to curse them, didn't have the ability to bless them, but God let him go out with his intention of cursing, and God fixed the prophet's mouth so every time he would try to ask God to bring harm to the children of Israel, instead of him asking God to bring them harm, he was asking God to increase them with even more blessings. So, and this king kept offering him more and more, and offering him money and all of these other things. But finally, he had to admit, I just can't speak but what God is telling me to speak. He wanted to curse them because it was going to benefit him financially. He wanted to curse them because it was going to line his pocket. He wanted to curse them bad so that he himself could be blessed. And understand that some people who want to curse you because they feel that it is a blessing in it for them if they do you wrong. If they do you dirty, if they do you in, they feel that there's a blessing for them. So he wanted to curse them, but every time he opened his mouth to condemn, God would take it and God would bless. And so this is the way sometimes we are. We try to apply the wisdom of God without knowing the will of God. And then some of us try to walk in the will of God without following the way of God. So if you're not going to follow what God has given, you can't walk in his will. So to walk in his will, you must walk in his way. Some people want to do the will of God, but they want to do it on their terms and their condition. But if you want to do the will of God, you're going to have to learn to yield to God and do things God's way, not your way. And this is why we have so much problem, I believe, in the church world today, is that we're not willing to do things God's way because God's way seems to take too long. God's way seems to be too slow. God's way seems to be ineffective, and we're looking for results right now. We're looking for answers right now, and we don't have the patience to wait on God and let God work his plan out in us. We try to work out our plan in God. And when we do that, we have trouble. Then we have those who are trying to follow the way of God without knowing the word of God, going about it blind, trying to follow the way of God, trying to live holy without knowing the word of God. So, but God is still doing great things for his people, but he's doing things for his people who are obedient to his word. So go back to Proverbs, the third chapter. The fifth verse says this: trust in the Lord. And trust in him how? With all thine heart. trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't halfway trust him. Don't trust God and trust your wisdom. Don't trust God and trust the system of the world. Don't trust God and trust your political allies. But the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, your total being says this: I'm going to trust God with everything. I'm just going to trust God. How can I trust God? Because I'm going to lean on God. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Your way will never work. God's way will do it every time. But again, the problem is we feel that God's way is too slow. The old term people used to use, it may be slow, but it's show. In other words, it's a sure thing. May not come the way we want it to come, may not move as fast as we desire, but God's way, when we all come down and just acknowledge it, we do understand that God's way is always the best way. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And here, verse 6, in all thy ways. Now, notice what it says here. It didn't say in some of your ways, in some of your doings, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. So it's to acknowledge what? God and what? Not just our spiritual matters, but all our other matters. If we would trust God, we would acknowledge God, and we would ask God's guidance in every facet of our life, how much better would our life be? But as I was preaching Sunday, we treat God and God's word and prayers like emergency implements. Remember, if some of you are older than me, some of you my age, a lot of you are younger than me. But I was telling them Sunday, there used to be a time that you would go in buildings and there would be fire extinguishers. There would be axes. There would be water hoses. And they would be behind protective glass, and you'd had red letters on the glass and would say, in case of emergency, break glass. In other words, in case of emergency, if there's a fire breaks out, break this glass, get the axe, do what you need to do. Break the glass, get the fire extinguisher, do what you need to do. Break the glass, reel out the water hose, do what you need to do in case of emergency. And sometimes we as God's people, this is what we do with prayer. We let it stay on the wall until an emergency comes. Then we're ready to break it out. But scripture tells us we are to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And when we do that, the promise is he shall direct our path. Verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes. And what should you do? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, we are to reverence God. And since we're reverencing God, we recognize God is a holy God. God hates evil. He does not like evil. So since we're saying that we love God and we reverence God, we fear God, we reverence God, since God does not like evil, then we have to come to that point where we don't like evil. So it says, fear the Lord and depart. What does depart mean? Depart means to leave, to get away. Depart from evil. Leave evil. Understand, evil will never leave you. You have to leave it. And then when you leave it, you have to resist it. But if you resist it, God will give you the power to overcome. It says, when you do this, you fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, when a child of God begins to hate evil, it blesses him both spiritually and physically. Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We follow the word of God. The word of God will bless us. And here, now notice what it says in verse 9. You may not want to hear this, but this is what the word says. This is what the word says, talking about being able to receive the blessings of God. Yes, God is still doing great things for people who are obedient. Notice what it says in Proverbs 3 and 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor God with what you have. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. With the first fruits, he's saying, honor God with your tithe. Honor God with an offering. Honor God with all of your substance. Why would we honor God with our substance? Don't I need my substance? Yes, you need your substance. Does God need your substance? No, God doesn't need it. But when you honor God with what you do have, you're showing God that you are trusting him to take care of you. And this is the problem we have in this world today, that we do not trust God to take care of us. We trust ourselves. We think we can do better than God. We think God doesn't know our needs. We feel that God doesn't know when we're going to have an emergency. We feel that God doesn't understand problems, life twists, life's turns. We feel that God has no control over the economy. And so we don't want to honor God with our substance, and we're afraid to trust God with his tithe. But it said, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, I'm giving to God. Lord, I'm giving this that's back to you, a portion of what you have given me, I'm giving it back to you. Because I understand it was you who blessed me to get what I have. I may not have much now, but I thank you for what I do have. And Lord, I'm willing to give part of that back. When you begin to have that mentality in God and you begin to worship God the way the scripture tells you to worship God, you begin to give to God. And God begins to increase in your life. And the way God does it, sometimes God gives you wisdom. And God sends you to school. God gives you wisdom. And you're able to manage things better. God gives you wisdom. And you're able to go and to better yourself and get better jobs. But when you do as God has said, God will bless you. Proverbs 3 and 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice what it says shall happen. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. He said your barns are going to be what? Filled with plenty. You're going to have enough. You're going to have more than enough. And it said, and thy presses shall burst out new wine. In other words, God's going to bless the barn and God's going to bless the wine press. God's going to give you increase. And then it tells in verse Proverbs 3 and 11, my son. Okay, let's listen to this one good. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't get mad when God has to straighten you out. Don't get upset when God has to get your attention. Don't get upset when you get off course and God has to put you back on course. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. It says, neither be weary of his correction. For this you know that God loves you. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Just like we with our children, we don't let our children just run rampant. We try to teach them the right way. We try to teach them the right things. They don't want to obey, then we have to sometimes get a little, as the children feel, we get a little harsh. We're tightening up because we're trying to get them to learn to operate correctly in society. God is trying to get us to learn to operate in the spiritual as well as the physical. And sometimes God has to chasten us. God has to correct us. But don't get upset because God is correcting you. Thank God that God loves you enough to correct you. And when God corrects you, he sees you not as his servant, but he sees you as his child. And if God is seeing you as his child, God is going to bless his child. So the season of God blessing us is not over. God is continuing to pour out his spirit upon his people. The thing about his people must get to the point that we trust God, where we believe God, where we honor God. It's good to acknowledge God with our mouth, but we have to get to the point where we acknowledge God with our lives. When we tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, I trust you. I pray to you, Lord, that you guide my footsteps. I pray to you that you give me increase. I pray to you that you open doors for me. I pray to you that you bless me, bless my house, bless my family, even bless my posterity. Lord, I trust you that you would give me increase. God will do it. God will do it. The Lord loves us when we live our lives according to his word. You're willing to trust God. You're willing to obey God. God is willing to bless you. Would you bow your heads? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for these, your people who are on this line tonight. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for what you have given. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless us all. I pray that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory. Everyone that's listening live, everyone that will listen later on, Lord, as they listen to this message, we pray that you would touch hearts. We pray that you would touch minds and let them grasp what you are trying to say to us in 2017. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you look on Sister Cooper. We pray that you would give her favor as she goes to that doctor's appointment tomorrow. We pray that you would look on Mother Brooks. Dear Lord, I pray that you would strengthen her body, that you would touch her. We pray for her healing. We pray for her deliverance. Dear Lord, we ask that you rebuke every condition that the enemy would try to place upon her body. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her healing, give her peace in her body, give her comfort in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless her family, bless her situations that she's dealing with. And Lord, we pray that you would bless all of us. Pray, Lord, that you would bless our families. I pray that you would bless my wife, bless Sister Brooks, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give her strength right now. Touch her body in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would bless me. Continue to give me strength. Continue to give me peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. And amen. So I want to encourage you. On Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, join us at 6424 Benjamintown Road. Join us for Sunday school. Also, morning worship at 11 o'clock a.m. And until next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart and watch God continue to bless you. Good night, everybody, and God bless.
The Holy Ghost is here right now. You that can feel him right now, lean on your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's here right now. He's here right now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. One of the church mothers would be in service, and one of them would strike out and say,
what more can he do?